Hello and welcome to the 130th edition of the GoMeanGreen.com Barbershop Podcast. This is Evan.
This is Harry.
Harry, we are on episode number 130, and we are into basically week two of the podcast for the 2014 season. Harry, I don't usually do this, but I have to do it right now. I got to give a shout out. The other day, I walked out of McAllister's and was pulled to the side, somebody who recognized my voice, and They really let me know how much they appreciated listening to these podcasts.
Wow, that's cool.
And really how much this really meant to them. So it was really kind of nice to hear somebody that kind of off the street just hearing us and knowing that they liked this and they wanted to let us know how much they appreciated. So my Highland Park friend that I saw at lunch the other day, it was nice to meet you, and thanks for listening. So, Harry, we are 16 days, 20 hours, and 45 minutes away from kickoff.
It's exciting. I mean, you can just feel it, you know, on the Go Mean Green site and then social media. You just kind of feel the momentum growing every day that goes by, and just can't wait. I mean, really, really excited about this game. Win or lose, I mean, obviously we'd love to win the game, but just a good performance and just the chance to see these guys, you know, without any media coverage and things of that nature. I mean, I think we're all chomping at the bit to see these guys get out and play. You know, I think there's going to be some new faces that you weren't thinking might make an impact that will, and that's always fun as a fan. And there are some great players coming back. So it's an exciting time. And you know, University of Texas at Austin, it doesn't get any bigger than that in the state of Texas.
Well, there's a lot of questions about the program at UT. I mean, a lot of questions. The Longhorns got a new coach, a lot of new phases, a new sheriff in town, a lot of changes. Going to be some players that aren't playing in that first game. They've got a lot of question marks themselves. So a lot of people want to see Texas, how do they come out of the gates. We don't have the same team we had last year, a lot of question marks. So it's really going to be a wild ride for both fans. I mean, the fans of both teams.
Well, you can't help but wish we had the team we had kind of like the second half of last year.
We always say that. If we only had that team or those guys, or if we had, you know, if we had Kennedy on the defense right now, we need that pass rush. Yeah, I mean, that's going to be every year where we wish we had this or that. But I'm really excited. I mean, this is
well.
A
hey,
good
look
time.
At Georgia. You know, what's the most recent comparable opponent? You got to say, going on the road to Georgia, they were what, number six in the country at the time we played that game, or at least in the top 10. And to play the way that we played, to be in the ball game by the third quarter, it gives you hope as a fan. It tells you that hey, the days of ass whippings on the road may be behind us, and this is a game that can. I think if we can show well in this game, there aren't really any other games in the season that you look at and say, wow, you know, they're just going to take us out to the woodshed. So it's a great opportunity for the program to really take a step forward as opposed to a step back.
Right, and this is a good game to do it in. When you look at the schedule, obviously the week after that we play SMU. Huge game at home. But you look at the schedule and the teams we play this year, you know, a lot of people got their season tickets in. If you didn't get your season tickets in, one, you didn't buy them, or two, they went somewhere else. The teams that we're bringing in, the games that we play, even the away games, I mean, there's not a team on that schedule that you don't really want to see us play.
No, it's a good schedule, and anyone that says otherwise is crazy. I mean, there are a lot of winnable games. Conference USA has been a great match for where our program is, and I think we have an opportunity to have a really nice season, despite the fact that we got a new quarterback and a lot of new faces. A lot of other teams in Conference USA do as well. So, you know, this UT game is important for a lot of reasons, but I think, you know, I was able to go to Media Day, and Cyril Lemon, you know, our standout offensive guard, you know, captain, made the comment that, you know, we want to do well in this game because it gives us a good start to the season. You know, it gives us a fresh, you know, a good way to begin 2014. And I think that's why there's so much anticipation in terms of how this game will play out.
Well, you compare this to this time last year as far as excitement about the season. Yeah, people were excited last year, but seeing the actual trending topics, the Mean Green, seeing the things we're seeing on Twitter, seeing a lot of that information out there, you can tell the excitement level is way above what it was last year.
Well, it's our first winning season in almost a decade. We had a bowl win in our hometown where we dominated the crowd and went with 40,000 North Texas fans, basically. These are those opportunities where, you know, you've got to take advantage of them because there is huge momentum. The students are excited. The alumni are excited. The fans are excited. And so, you know, here's a great way to take a step forward. And hey, no one expects us. You know, this, it would be a major upset for us to win this game, but a close, well-fought contest. And who knows? There have been a lot of injuries for Texas. They're going through a complete new coaching change. They say programs make their biggest improvement between, what is it, game one and game two. So we're catching them at the right time. If you're going to play Texas, it's this first game. That's when
there's
no
doubt. No doubt. We don't want to have mid-season like we did Georgia. I mean, you know, right out of the gate when they've got so many question marks, that's what you want to see. Now, Harry, obviously when we talked to Brett Vito last week, we talked to RV. There's a lot of questions about the Mean Green team. There's a lot of questions about who's doing what, who's going to play quarterback. Anything since last week we can kind of – are the pieces starting to fall into place? I mean, I know Brett's looking through the bars out there with his lawn chair trying to get a good idea what's going on, but what do you see happening?
I mean, all signs point towards McNulty. I mean, everything is pointing towards him. I saw him at Media Day. You know, he's a confident guy, smart guy. He was answering the questions. You know, Joe Trahan from Channel 8 was out there, and he was trying to, you know, pump up, hey, you're going to upset Texas and that kind of stuff. And McNulty would have none of that. He's just he doesn't have a lot. He doesn't say a lot, but he means it when the words that he does say, he means, if that makes any sense. I mean, he's a pretty soft-spoken guy, but I think he's a good leader. He's kind of a quiet leader. He's been in the program for 3 years. He knows the system better than anybody's going to. I think he's the guy. I think that you know, stretching this out is really more coaching strategy than anything else. There is probably not a better guy to put on the field in that first game than Andrew McNulty.
And Andrew McNulty will be a future trivia question for all the Mean Green faithful as the first person to score a touchdown at the stadium.
That's right. He scored it against the University of Houston.
Which was so weird because he just came in, scored a touchdown, and that's all we saw. We was like, wow, that was kind of cool.
And then he kind of disappeared because, you know,
he
sat out for a year with an injury. And I mean, but he's been in the program for 3 years, and he's a good student of the game. I just think that all signs point to him. Now, if you say, Harry, who's the guy that you think could make the biggest impact? I got to say, I think Josh Greer is going to be in the mix before it's all said and done. He's just, you know, he looks like a Division I quarterback. You know, he's 6'4", 6'5", 225 pounds, big arm. I got to feel like Josh Greer. To be honest with you, I think Josh being number two behind McNulty is probably the best case scenario for him because the pressure's not on him. He's a new junior college transfer, and it gives him a chance to kind of step in there when the time's right. And then I'm not going to back off my Dejon Williams fanaticism.
Oh, here we go.
I just think the guy's a great athlete. I think he's just – and he's not a good practice guy necessarily. He may not work out as much in the weight room. But I think when the lights come on, he's the kind of guy that can make some exciting things happen. And I refuse to give up on him.
All right. So – obviously, the Texas game is going to be a huge meter on where we are, but you can't hang your hat on that game and say this is going to make to break the season.
No.
We've got a lot of winnable games. Even our out-of-conference games are very first of all, SMU. We need a big crowd there. We need a loud section behind there. We really need to know, and we want those SMU recruits and SMU fans to realize this is what a full, loud stadium actually sounds like.
Well, people new to the scene maybe don't understand, but SMU, even though they may not consider us a rival, we have always, throughout the years, considered them a big-time rival. They're a crosstown rival. They're the other, you know, we're the other side of the tracks. You know, they're the rich kids that drive the BMWs and all that kind of stuff. It's a huge game. My only concern, I think we'll have a great showing for SMU, and I think their fans will turn out as well because it's so early in the season and it's such an easy trip. My only concern is I wish it wasn't at 11 o'clock. I wish that was a 7 o'clock game. I think it will hurt tailgating a little bit. You got families playing soccer and those kind of things. So I think it will have an impact on attendance, but I sure hope, you know, I know they're talking about having a sellout and everything else. I hope that we do have a really good turnout. And that's why that's another reason why this Texas game is so important. A good showing, even in a losing effort, could go a long way to securing better attendance for that SMU game.
Well, and I think it's early enough in the season, though, that 11 o'clock won't be as bad. Later on, you start getting into some big college rivalry games. You get a lot of stuff going on. That's when a lot of your little activities go. It's still early up in the, enough in the season where you might not get that those huge activities. So let's hope that that's the way it works out. Either Absolutely. Way, there's going to be a huge student turnout.
Oh, yeah.
They seem to be growing every year, and after that win, you got to expect that they're going to be
It's going to be a great, exciting, electric, I mean, to see the SMU team come out on the field is going to be in that beautiful stadium. It's going to be a neat place to be.
Right. So we're going to have two guests on tonight. We're going to start out with Ashton Campbell. For those of you that don't recognize the name, he is the producer, director, creator, and man behind the Beyond the Green show that we watched last year by Loved. We'd talk about it every episode. You'd wait for the athletic department to upload it to YouTube. And everybody really got a lot out of that. You really got to see a different side of the team. You really got to see behind the scenes. It was like a personal diary of a great winning season. So RV told us last week it was going to be happening again. And I'm not sure Ashton knew that it was going to be happening again.
We're going to talk to Ashton, and he's going to give us the latest and greatest. But, I mean, I think all signs point towards it being a go. There will be a Beyond the Green 2, and they're already shooting footage right now. And, again, Evan, this show was so well produced.
It was.
It won national awards. I just feel very fortunate that we're buddies with Ashton and that he'll come on here. And I'll tell you something else for the fans. With media being closed out of practices in the fall, there's not anyone closer to Mean Green football. I mean, he's in there inside the fence seeing what's going on. So I'm going to ask him a couple football questions tonight.
Well, yeah. And, you know, the thing is I think the athletic department really saw the value of this as a sales tool, not only for recruits, but for advertisers, for community, bigwigs to realize what this thing can do to promote the university.
Absolutely.
So I think it's just an all-around win for everybody. So
yeah,
we'll go ahead and pause it. For those of you listening on iTunes, we promise we'll have the feed up sooner. and for those of you listening on Mixler, we'll go ahead and you'll just hear us sitting around trying to call him. For those of you on iTunes, you won't see a break, so let's go ahead and get him on. All right, joining us on the phone is the creator, producer, director of the Beyond the Green show from last year, Ashton Campbell. Ashton, thanks for joining us.
Absolutely, man. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Ashton, it's got to be an exciting time for you. You had such great success with Beyond the Green last season, and now we're doing it again. There's a part two, and I know the fans are real excited. Talk a little bit about what's going on with the new show.
It's really exciting. One of the things that we're trying to do this year is really just build on the success of last year and, you know, the success of the show and really the team. You know, last year was kind of a perfect storm, and we had so many great storylines that we had to kind of leave out during the season because the team was winning so many games, and there were so many first time since 2006 for this or five for this or four or anything like that. So this season we're just trying to kind of maybe build on some of those segments those storylines that we didn't really get to use last year because, frankly, we really didn't need it. And that's a really good problem to have. So, you know, I think this year we're not trying to reinvent the wheel or anything with the series and just try to keep it going and keep it, you know, basically the same as it was last year in terms of, you know, storylines and off-the-field stuff, you know, get to know who these players are, find out their lives, and hopefully, you know, dive into that a little bit more, like I was saying, and just try to do some more off the field stuff, you know, and really get to know everybody.
So you've been down there a couple of weeks now?
Yeah. I was actually there for the first day of camp. I got to go out there and started filming that day, really, just getting some you know, B-roll for the season and start some storylines and start really just taking notes and figuring out, you know, just trying to observe and it's fun. You know, it's always nice at the beginning of August when you're out there and it's really hot and that nice Texas weather, and football started, and you can kind of, you know, see everybody's really geeked out. The players were, they kind of ran on the field, and you can just tell that the guys were really excited. And it's a pretty, I imagine, you know, for the guys on the team, it seems like it's a really cool time to be a part of that team, because building off of everything from last season, there just seems to be an excitement. And I didn't start filming last year until basically the middle toward the end of camp, because it kind of all ramped up really quick at the end for the show to get finalized. And I wasn't really there for this part, but I can imagine that the excitement is more this time around than it was maybe last season this time.
Yeah, we were talking a little bit about, you know, having that bowl win and the great turnout and everything else, that this is such a great opportunity to kind of take a step forward as opposed to a step back.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you know, we all the diehards know that last season was one of the better seasons that we've ever had, you know, from the football program standpoint. And they have so much to build on. And I think there's a lot of pressure with that too, though. I think the coaches are welcoming that pressure to keep it going. And, you know, we all know who Dan McCartney is, and we know what his mantra is. And I talked to him the other day. We started shooting some interviews the other day for the first episode. And, you know, really one of my questions was, you know, is there an added pressure, you know, to him and some of the players? And some of the players that I talked to didn't say there was really a pressure in a sense. It's just, there's an expectation now, and they're happy to meet that challenge head on and really try to keep it going.
Okay, so we got to ask you some football questions. I mean, we're all, you know, kind of on the outside looking in, and you're one of the few people that are actually able to go inside the fence and see what's going on. Any takes, any impressions in terms of, you know, how the team looks, and any performances, players that have done a good job?
Yeah, there is actually. There's I've seen a lot of really good things. I just see a talent level, just a different kind of football player that kind of comes through there right now. There's a lot of battles going on. And I think everybody knows that. We lost a lot of seniors, so maybe there's a little bit more of a, you know, an excitement going on with guys who are fighting for jobs, because they know they have a better shot. They're not just walking in, getting any job handed to them. I mean, really, you know, outside of the offensive line, there's really a lot of turnover with really every position group. And I think that's really kind of fascinating to watch. And I've kind of had to put the camera down a lot and just kind of look at some of those battles just to kind of see. If I had to say a couple things right now, I really think that there's going to be some true freshmen who are going to play this season. And I think that I wouldn't be surprised by in midseason if these guys are major contributors to the team and actually getting a lot of playing time, which last season you didn't have much of that. I mean, last season it was a group led by 22 seniors. And now you're really going to see some guys, you know, because of the turnover, but these guys are also stepping up. I mean, they're really coming out there to play. You know, the receivers are picking up things really quickly, you know, to me. And I see them running with groups that, you know, a true freshman probably wouldn't have ran with, you know, a year ago. And so, you know, I think that and the running backs too. I mean, all the running backs are really running the ball really well last week. I was at the scrimmage last weekend as well, and I came away thinking, really, I think this team is a lot deeper than people think they are. I think that when it's all said and done, I can't, not really going to go on any prediction, you know, record predictions right now, but I really think that we're deeper than people just assume we are, because we lost so many great guys last season, and you know, we had such a senior led team. I think that there's a little bit more of a deeper roster than people really realize.
As far as the quarterback position, obviously that's a big point of debate on Gomeen Green. Any impressions in terms of who you think might take the first snap in Austin?
One of the things, I really don't know who would. Right now it seems to me, and I think Mac has said this already, so I'm not really breaking any news here, but I think that really Josh Greer and McNulty are the clear one and two, or, you know, in no order. I mean, those are the guys that really, they're having the best camps, you know, the best camp. And those two guys are the best quarterbacks in the camp right now. You know, I think that each of them, and I actually asked both these guys, I'm doing a story on that, and and kind of trying to follow that competition for the first episode. And, you know, I don't want to give too much away. I talked to both guys, and I think that both of them, what they said about the other guy was kind of fascinating to me, like what the other guy does really well, what the other guy does really well, you know, what each guy does well on their own. And, you know, I think that anybody who follows the program would know that McNulty has the experience. I mean, he knows Canales' system. He's been there. Canales probably really trusts him a lot. And then Greer, you know, has some pedigree, was a guy that they tried to go get a couple years ago. You know, Canales obviously likes him, wanted to bring him in when he was transferring. So I think that watching those two guys so far has been really fun. And I think that what I've noticed is when McNulty has a really good day, so does Greer. And when Greer has a really good day, so does McNulty. So they kind of just pace each other, which, you know, I think is really good. I think they're pushing each other, and I think they're both trying to do, you know, the best they can. And I like what I'm seeing out of both of them. You know, and I think the Canales is really enjoying having a competition like that and letting these guys kind of go at it.
So do they treat you kind of like an outsider, or have they do they kind of look at you strangely when you're walking around this big camera all the time, or start to put you into the fold, this being the second season?
Hey, just for giggles, I think you should give Vito a camera and walk around and see if they, you know, they give him the eye.
I mean, it was always really funny on honestly walking out on the field and seeing closed practice. And every time I open that door, I really wonder, is it closed for me today too? Like, I don't really know. Like, I mean, they really could tell me, like, no, I mean, you can't come out here today. And that's something that I really, and I said this last season, I think I said this at the awards thing when I got interviewed by somebody after the awards ceremony. I got to hand it to the Mac and his staff. You know, Mac really fought hard to get the show going again. We've developed a really great relationship. At least I think it is. I hope he feels the same way. And the trust level is really high. So I really do just kind of walk around, and I don't feel like I get any kind of weird looks. And, you know, if I don't need to be shooting something, I might get a nod from the coaches like, hey, you know, don't shoot this. Or afterward, hey, don't put that on there, because that's something that we want to keep a secret, because it's like, you know, a certain play, or maybe it's a trick play, or just something like that. And I have to abide by that, because if I don't, you know, the whole series is built on trust. And the reason why the show, I think, is successful, and I think why people like it, I hope people like it, is it's built on the fact that I can go in there and bring that show to life because the coaches trust me. And if I lose that trust, that show is really not going to be very good, and it's going to be kind of boring. And the fact that they let me do that, it really, I mean, again, I can't really say enough about Mac and them letting me do what I do, and really just, you know, oh, you're fine, when I ask them, you know, okay, can I shoot this, can I shoot that? And that's really refreshing. And as a fan, again, you know, I'm in a weird situation because I am a big fan. I'm an alum. I'm out there with the team that I would be following regardless of their win and loss record. And I have to kind of distance myself from that and be, you know, and not be such a fan for the production of the show. But at the same time, I mean, I can't, I'm not going to really lie about that. It's really fun to cover the team that I really appreciate.
Well, I think it's also a situation where we have, as fans, and, you know, we've seen with the declining media coverage in all types of you know, the print media, the local, you don't see the coverage you used to, so the athletic departments have to get creative. And, you know, they did where they blogged their own, you know, they did a blog, a running blog, and it was all, you know, unicorns and puppy dogs. And that's, you know, you understand that that's kind of what they kind of have to do. They don't want to come down on their own, but it loses a bit of credibility with the fans, and there's no doubt. And as ugly as sometimes the forum or posting boards can get, you know, you try to present both sides of it. But, you know, the media that you've presented in last year was so well received, they've got to see the value of that.
Yeah, and they do. I mean, they really do. Again, the athletic department, the guys I work with over there, my main contacts, they've all been really great this offseason, getting the show going, giving me some more access, treating me like one of theirs. And that's a big thing, too. Like, not only is the football team doing it, but the athletic department lets me kind of go in there and show up whenever I want and shoot interviews when I want and do all this stuff. And there's not really a whole lot of, I don't have to get a lot of clearance from them. They just kind of let me do it. And again, that's one of the things that really goes into this series is if you don't get that, you're not going to make a good product, or the product is going to suffer. I guess I shouldn't say it's not going to make a good product because it has been done before, but it's not going to be as good as it can be. And like you were saying, Evan, you know, the unicorns and puppy dogs, and they have a job to do regardless, and they can't come down, but you know, they can, you know, we can bring certain things to light that may not be, you know, as positive as, you know, a loss against UTSA is not going to be as positive as a win, you know, against Ball State and coming back or something like that, you know. And the fact that when that happens, it's not just kicked to the floor, like we're not going to show that game, or we're not going to do this, or we're not going to do that, is nice. And the fact that this is what happened, I'm basically documenting the season, and this is one of the things that happened, good or bad, it's got to be shown. Now, we're going to not go and do investigative reporting, like I said before. This is not that kind of show. This is an outside the lines. But at the same time, you know, if something does go down, an injury, somebody, you know, something bad happens, you know, any catastrophic, anything really that happens to the team, you know, most likely it's going to be talked about in some form or fashion on the show. We're not just going to avoid everything.
Well, let me ask you this. What with everything that you did last year and presented, and you kind of had a lot of different things, there's kind of a first half, second half. Are we going to see the same format? I mean, I know you just touched on a little bit, but some of the fans definitely in the chat room are asking, what are we going to see maybe the different this year? What are we looking at that you guys are really going to try? Something maybe you've, after watching all episodes last year, you thought, hey, let's try to do look cover this angle differently. Is there anything we can expect different this year?
I wouldn't say different per se. I would just say more of. I think that what my goal is to do is I want to do some other stories, some more off the field stuff. You know, like I was saying, if you know, for some games that were just so compelling or so much fun, you know, and really the budget, you know, kind of dictated this as well. You know, we couldn't go do as much. You know, we had to do what we were, you know, things that were given to us. And football games are going to happen every week, and we're going to show them. And so now, if when we blow somebody out by 90 points or something like that, if we have a game where we just go off on somebody, you know, we may not show a beat down that isn't that interesting to some of the fans. We would have shown last year. We might tailor that down a little bit and show more of an off the field segment or something like that. Everybody likes seeing the wins and everything like that, but you know, for those games, I'd like to try to show more sideline coverage, honestly, and maybe I'm tinkering with some ideas on how we can do some more access. Maybe go up into the coaches' boxes. There's a little bit of talk about that. You know, just trying to show more access and more what goes on behind the scenes of the game that you don't usually get to see.
Hey,
you know,
Ashton.
We all see the highlights, but let's see whatever happens elsewhere. You know, we already show the locker room, we already show the sidelines, but you know, now that a lot of the guys know me, I imagine they're going to be talking to the camera more often. They're going to be showing us their personality, whether it's winning or losing. And, you know, people won't maybe clam up in front of the camera, not to say that many people did, but there were some times where I think some guys, you know, scaled back a little bit or just kind of shut up because I was walking over there with the camera.
Hey.
I think maybe now they might not do that. So I think that I'd like to see some more of that, and really just more off-the-field stuff, you know, more who these guys are, player profile kind of pieces. I think a lot of people really enjoyed those, and the McCoy piece, you know, was recognized for the award, and that to me was fairly eye-opening. I mean, we're not going to get that story too often with a, you know, late 20s Army war veteran, father of two, winning some kind of award, but we, you know, those things happen, and it's my job to go out there and find those stories, and we've got a few right now that are in the bank, and we're trying to, you know, elaborate on, and hopefully more will come along as we kind of brainstorm and try to get scripting going for this rest of the season.
Hey, Ashton, one thing Evan was trying to get to earlier, and he just was too embarrassed to get to it, but he passed me a note while you were talking.
I didn't pass you anything.
He really wants you to interview the fans more, and if you do, he's more than willing to volunteer for a segment.
Dude, you know the athletic department would so nix that.
No, you know, that's funny that you said that, though, because, you know, Eric Capra and I have had conversations before about, you know, trying to do more tailgating, do more of those things. You know, I think last year I just wanted to set the tone with football, and there are some times where I think I moved away from doing certain things that I could have done because I just wanted to show more football, because I felt like that's what people really wanted to see, because the team was winning games. I mean, let's face it, when we're at a certain point and we're, you know, 5-3 and then 6-3 and having to hit 6 and everything like that, like, things just kind of changed a little bit. And so really at that point, there were just so many more things to talk about that I kind of, like I said in the interview, I had to kind of put some things on the floor, and I didn't want to do that, but it's a nice problem to have. You know, there were so many more stories, but yeah, I think that, you know, we might try to do some more tailgating. We got some good fan sound bites towards the end of the season last year. I think the last episode before the bowl episodes, I believe, we were at the Tulsa game, and that was kind of a big game because we were going to cap off potentially an 84 season. And I wanted to hear some fan perspective, and the turnout was decent out there, but, you know, I'll be able to get more sound bites at a home game, obviously. And you know, that first game against SMU, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if that episode, we get to see a little bit more what the fans are talking about at tailgating that morning.
Okay. So Ashton, I got to ask you a question. We had some questions here in the chat that's going on while we do this broadcast. Dejon Williams, you know, do we need to give up on him? Is he going to be able to play? I mean, there's just, he's a guy that has garnered a lot of emotion on the board.
Yeah, I know he has. And, you know, I can't really speak to giving up on him or anything like that. I don't see why anybody should give up on a guy with that much talent, honestly. The guy does have talent. I mean, he's a good quarterback. You know, he does good things. He's young. You know, he's really young. And I think that, again, you know, there's just guys that are older and have a little bit more experience. And I think that kind of, Dejon needs to get to that point. And I think that when he does, you know, if he keeps learning and getting in the system and everything like that, then he's going to, you know, then we're going to have something there. But, you know, I don't want to sit there and say that anybody should give up on him at all, because it is still, you know, we're only just a little past 1 week down in training camp and things can happen. But, you know, everybody always likes to talk about the backup quarterback, you know, in the NFL and in college. And it's always, you know, and I know that there really could be a two backups or another backup and then Dejon in this sense. But I think it's definitely a lightning rod. And everybody always likes to talk backup quarterback because it's kind of that unknown. And, you know, Derek, you know, could have spoke to this a lot last year, you know, that, you know, he took a lot of flack and he ended up having a good season. So, I mean, but, you know, I think it's the same thing last year we were talking about Dejon, and Dejon was going to – why can't Dejon oversee Eric, Derek Thompson? So, you know, I don't think anybody needs to give up on anybody right now at all, and I think that the coaches aren't lying when they're giving their soundbite saying, you know, this guy's having a good camp. You know, Dejon has made some really nice plays, and there has been some good things. But like I said, McNulty and Greer have as well. So it is a battle right now. But I do think that McNulty and Greer, in my opinion, have been the best quarterbacks in camp so far.
So one of the questions that came up on the board, Ashton, was is this going to be a YouTube only, or is this going to be on Southwest again?
No, everything's the exact same, actually. The time slot's the same. The channels are the same. You know, Fox Sports Southwest. We had a meeting with Fox Sports at the beginning of the summer when we realized we were going to, you know, be really ramping things up. And I went over there with some of the guys from the department and had a meeting with them. And the feedback we got from Fox Sports Southwest was fantastic. And they said some really nice things about the show. The guys we were in the meeting with in particular had said that was one of the shows they liked the most in terms of college football. They really enjoyed it, and they were happy to bring it back on if we were going to do it again. And, you know, we had a nice conversation about, you know, what would you guys like to see? And what would you guys like to see us do? And they kind of gave some input, and, you know, we definitely took that, you know, definitely took those notes and trying to incorporate that into the show this year. But, yeah, I mean, CSN Houston, that should be, I'm pretty sure that's 100% finalized. Fox Sports Southwest is the exact same time slot with the rerunning it on Friday, sometime Saturday, I believe, just like they did last year. And those times are always going to be up in the air. I don't think we're going to know when it's going to be rerun on Fridays. Until maybe that week each time, as it's going to be kind of a floating time spot, depending on sports that evening or whatever. And then Time Warner Sports Channel is the one I don't quite know for sure yet. If that is, I believe I read something or that channel might change their format a little bit. So I don't really know if we're 100% locked in on that one.
but everything else is basically the exact same.
So one of the guys in the room there, Marty, said that his DVR, he searched it, and the first show says it's August 28th at 4 p.m. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. That is the first episode we added. You know, last season we did a 12 episode series, and then we did four. Then we did two more for the bowl games. We ended up doing 14. That would obviously be great to do more bowl episodes this season, because that means had a good season. But we right now we have a deal for 13 episodes, and that means we're going to be doing one before the first game, which is going to be like a training camp off season episode. That's really going to try to bring people into what training camp is like and see some stuff that you guys really didn't see in the off season. You know, obviously the school posts some things as well, but I'm going to try to, you know, have a couple stories and really take people inside training camp and see just exactly what it is and some of the events that happened throughout there and just off season in general, you know, and just kind of give us a recap and what's happened leading up to the Texas game.
Hey, Ashton, you know, we're running a little short on time, so I wanted to say, first off, thank you so much. I know you're very busy doing the show and everything else, and we would love to have you come back and, you know, throughout the season, if you will, and just, you know, keep us apprised of the show and kind of let people know about what's coming up and things of that nature. If you'd be willing to, we'd love to have you back.
I would love to come on as much as you guys want. I think one of the things that me personally, and I think the school is having this, you know, things as well, is that I'm really going to try to promote the show more. You know, last year it ramped up so fast, and we were always I was always trying to play catch up each week and get things in, because we were really just under the gun so much on, and then, you know, if we started winning and stories kind of changed by each game, and I think that I didn't do a great job of promoting it on my own as well, you know, in addition to what the school is doing. So I think this year you're going to see some more things. We're probably going to have a Twitter account to be on the green, and hopefully just have, you know, update people on what segments are going to be this week, and maybe answer some questions if anybody wants it. And then, you know, just anything social media, and really just try to get the word out there more, because I think we have some momentum to build off of, not only the football team, but the show having some success as well. And you know, I really want to try to get the word out there as much as possible.
All right, Ashton, we appreciate it. Everybody on the board is obviously saying love the show, awesome show. Thanks for being on. We got a lot of great comments. So you're definitely got a great fan following, and everybody should set their DVR for August 28th at 4 p.m. and just make sure you record all the episodes and catch up, because if you don't and you go on the board, you'll hear what happened the previous day. It's kind of one of those shows. So, Ashton, thanks for being with us. Ashton, the creator-director of Beyond the Green 2 this year.
Gonna be fun.
Thanks, Pat. I appreciate it.
Can't wait to see it, man.
All right, thanks, Ashton.
Well, that was fun. I mean, I think he's such an interesting guy, in, you know, being an alum and having such a passion for the school and the football program and athletics in general, and then be able to you know, follow the school that you love and do such a great job representing the school with your work. I mean, that's a pretty neat story.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, and we've said it before and we've talked about this, it's a tough job to be able to come across as providing good entertainment, but not being so one-sided with how crazy it is. You know what I'm saying? You can't do the, just like an overused term, but the, you know, rainbows and unicorns type thing and expect people to just buy in every week.
Right,
and that's tough, really tough to do. And it was very well received last year. Everybody enjoyed it. And so he just needs to keep doing what he's doing.
And I got to say this, it's one of those things where, just like Apogee, when you walk in a stranger or a friend that's never been there to Apogee, you have that proud feeling of, hey, this is my stadium. Same thing with that show. You know, when I showed it to my dad, when I showed it to a friend or whatever else, I just kind of felt proud to say,
very
hey.
Because it was so well done. And what you saw in there, and think of the recruits. I mean, we can't stress that enough. Recruits watching this going, look, here they are at Georgia. Look at this run back. Look at this. I mean, this is, you know, this is kind of a diary. How many schools are doing this? I mean, I'm sure the others, some of them are, but you just don't see this a whole lot. And for a program of our size and where we're at, that's exactly what we need. It gives us a little extra edge.
Yeah, I'll tell you a good example. UTSA show would run right after the North Texas one. And no offense to UTSA, but I thought our show was just a whole lot better. So anyway, for what it's worth.
Very stoking the UTSA rivalry fire there.
I'll hear about that one.
Oh, I'm sure you will. But, you know, they lost Ole Sosa, so I want to see what they got this year.
So are we ready for Admin?
Yes, let's go ahead and get Admin on. We're going to do another quick pause, but we're going to have Admin on. He is down in Austin and is putting together the group. So all the people that are going down there for the game down there, there's going to be a bar meet and greet. So go ahead and call him, and I'll get him on there, and we'll go that route. So everybody mark your DVRs for August 28th. 4 p.m. Make sure you do the record all first run. It'll also be on YouTube for those of you can't. So that's the Beyond the Green Part 2. Next week, we will probably not have a show and then have one final show before the holidays or before the first game. So we're going to go ahead and get him on. Hold on 1 second here. All right. Jeff, can you hear us?
Yes.
All right. We're going to try to monkey with the sound here a little bit because we've been having some issues with the $400 piece of equipment that I'm having to turn the knobs constantly. So if you can hear us, we're basically joining us on the phone right now is
Admin.
We're going to go by Admin? Okay. Well, we gave away his name's Jeff.
Let's not out me just yet.
Okay. Yeah, we're gonna have to be careful about that. So, Jeff, tell us what's going to be going on for that first game that you're putting together down there.
First take. There is a Mean Green friendly, Mean Green owned bar restaurant on East 7th in Austin, Texas, 1300 East 7th. It's the Silo on 7th.
The Silo.
The Alumni Association has gotten in touch with us, and we're going to do a special, I guess, Friday night kickoff party. It's from 5:30 to 9 p.m. The Alumni Association will be providing appetizers to all Mean Green fans and alums. In addition to that, we don't know specifically what our drink specials will be, but we are hoping to do some Armadillo Ale. Specials, being that Armadillo is a Denton brewer. The only issue that we're having with that is distribution and the fact that they don't have it down there, and it's difficult for us to get it down there for different legal reasons. And then Saturday, we're going to do a lunch special with pregame drink specials from noon to 5. Saturday evening, 7 to 11, anyone that doesn't have a ticket to the game, come to the Silo. We'll have a watching party going on. And then Sunday, we're going to do a special North Texas Mean Green brunch with a green eggs and ham special. So
nice.
That's kind of it in a gist. For anyone that's not been there, I would say if you've been to Oak Street Draft House and Cocktail Parlor, and or Eastside Social Club in Denton. The Silo is not like either one of those. So don't go in with that expectation of 90 craft beers on tap. We do have 16 taps with some great craft beers on them, and then another 60 bottles of craft and some pretty amazing bartenders that make awesome, awesome cocktails. Our food focus is kind of a craft burger. If you've been to Hop Daddy in Dallas or perhaps Good Friend, you might be familiar with that style of burger. That's kind of what we're after. I guess, and honestly, too, we're looking at, I don't know if we'll be able to pull it off, but, you know, if Coach Mack is going to come all the way to Austin to kick UT's ass, then we're kind of obligated to have Grey Goose on special. So can't say that's a for sure done deal, but we're certainly gonna work on it.
You know what, Harry, I will say that one of the things that I miss about Daryl Dickey was drunken rants at pregame parties or postgame things, and that's you don't get that with Mac, but you know, hey, you never know. It's so, well, hopefully that you know somebody will show up from that.
Okay, so Admin, we kind of did this backwards because Can you hear me right now?
No, there we go.
Okay, admin. Okay, we kind of did this backwards, all right? Because you're sort of a man of mystery, and people don't really know who you are and kind of what your story is. So do you want to give a little background as far as who Admin is and why he bleeds so much green?
Well, I am a proud 1998 graduate of the University of North Texas. I studied radio, television, film, and the running joke in that department was lights, camera, unemployment, which is, I guess, something of why I got steered towards the bar business. I was a bartender on Fry Street for a number of years, and through those connections and friendships that I made along the way, once I graduated and left Denton for the bright lights of Dallas, I was fortunate enough to keep those friendships and connections in place. And we all came back together a number of years ago and decided that, you know, maybe we should try to conquer the world, or at least a little part of it, with the things that we love, and that being cold beer, the University of North Texas, Denton, and as far as we can take that vibe across the country, whether it be Austin or Dallas or Florida or what have you. So that's what we're trying to do. And good people, great people like John Williams, his brother Paul, and our other partners. We're just working hard to kind of get a grassroots thing going. So we believe in the mean green, to quote George Dunham, and we're going to do all that we can on our level to let the world know that we're legit, the mean green, that is, and take it to high places.
Well, hey, Admin, I got to give you a plug because, you know, I've had so many good times, but, you know, Oak Street is a staple in the whole Denton community down there by the square. Now East Side, you know, is it's just a must stop. And so with the announcement of this event in Austin and you guys spreading your wings and great stuff out there, I've been thinking a lot about the growth of Denton and establishments like yours and others, and then also combining that with the whole DART Denton Transit Authority you know, doing the games this year and having the shuttle. I mean, that's got to be an exciting thing for you guys with, you know, so many ties there in the Denton area and the fact that you're such huge North Texas fans.
Absolutely. And we're really excited any and every opportunity we have to partner with the university and even more specifically the athletic department to kind of further and the cause of UNT athletics. We will do. We jumped on board. We were approached by both the city and the athletic department to help out with the shuttling, A-train service, all that good stuff that you're going to see every game day in North Texas in Denton this season. We jumped on board with that quickly. We think, you know, we see a big picture of what's good for the university is good for Denton in general, and what's good for Denton in a lot of ways is good for the university. So it's God, I don't want to sound too cliched, but it's a team effort, and we're going to do everything that we can to get us to that next level as a program, as a university, with hopefully you know, every intention of keeping the independent original flavor that is Denton. You know, we don't ever want to be a chain Chili's on every corner kind of place. At least I don't. I think most people would agree. And you know, another thing that makes me feel really, really good about it all is, and I don't know if I should be saying this, but after the Tulsa game, last season. You know, it was in Tulsa. We all went up there, made the drive. Great game. Came back. We're hanging out at Eastside, having a great time, you know. And who should walk in shortly thereafter but Coach Spladani, his family, and his assistants. And we all got to sit down and have a beer and just enjoy that that victory. And I think it's lost, maybe not lost, but maybe not understood by a lot of people that, you know, from RV all the way down to the coaches, Mac and his assistants and his coordinators, we really do have something special at this school. And the fact that there's access, the fact that we can hang out with these people and they're legitimate, nice people who do, you know, Spladani's not a North Texas grad, but he believes in the program. He believes in the direction. He believes in the school. He's just a great, wonderful guy and a wonderful family. His wife, Sharon, and both his daughters, Laura or Lauren and Stephanie, just wonderful, wonderful people. So it makes me so happy and so optimistic about, I genuinely believe, take away, you know, your opinions of we should run more, pass more. I don't think anyone can argue that Mac is not the guy that we need at the helm, and he's doing wonderful things as well as his assistant. So,
well, hey, Jeff, we admin. It's yeah. Hard for us to do that. Hey, we appreciate you jumping on. I wish we had more time, but we had your partner in crime, Ashton, on before you, and so we're running out of tape tonight. But promise us you'll come back and join us, because I'll tell you something. Admin's got a lot of hot sports football opinions, and we need to press into those a little bit more on the next time.
Hey, anytime. And like I say, Friday night, it's going to be off the hook at Silo, and I look forward to seeing everybody. And you will learn my true identity if you come by Silo and we meet.
Hey, one last thing. Is Silo going to have enough room for all these? There's going to be a lot of people. Evan's going to probably be there. I'm going to be there with some. I mean, are you going to have enough? How big is this place?
It's actually very small. It's originally, the place is the original City of Austin tortilla factory named Tony's, built in like 1920. The lot that we're on with seven buildings, there's only one original building left, but the silo that is the silo in the silo of seventh is the silo that held their corn to make their tortillas. We thought it very important to keep that and bring it to the front of the property where the main building is. Interior-wise, the main dining room, very, very small bar, small dining room. But we have a large deck on top with a full bar and bathrooms upstairs as well. And then we have a second level deck. All of it looks into downtown from where we are on the east side. It's a great view of the skyline. And then we have an area along the side of the building for patio seating downstairs. But, yeah, I mean, you know, we get 200 or 300 Mean Green fans in there overall. It's going to be very packed, very tight. But, I mean, that's great, too. And Soundman brought up the flag. We will totally accommodate that. We've got ladders. We're ready to hang it.
That's awesome.
We're working on – I don't think our employees will be wearing jerseys, but I think you'll see us in – we're working on shirts specific for that game. You know, we're in for a penny, in for a pound on this. We'll always support it. Scrappy, there's a Scrappy in the bar that was there before construction was even finished. So, to Soundman's question about parking for the bus out front, no, but we do have our own private parking lot, and there is a street, Lydia, that runs on our corner. We're on the corner of Lydia and East 7th that we should be able to find parking for him somewhere along that, or possibly in our alley. So we'll be able to work it out for sure.
All right, Admin.
Hey, man, we appreciate you coming on and doing all this stuff. It's going to be awesome. I can't wait to see you there. And we'll have to have you come back if you will.
Yeah. So everybody check the board. We'll have information on there. It'll be follow us on Twitter. All that information of where it's going to be. There's no way that you can't figure out where this is at. So make sure you come. Make sure you at least come Friday night, if not Saturday and Sunday. It sounds like there's going to be plenty to do. So, Edmund, we really appreciate you being on.
Hey, Harry, Evan, thank you for all you guys do. We really appreciate you guys. And go Mean Green.
Go Mean Green, man.
Go Mean Green. Thanks. All right, sorry, we had a little issues with the phones tonight. Hopefully we get all that squared away for the next time. Seems like we have that all the time, but we'll figure it out. For those of you listening along, that will be it for this episode 130. We will be back probably in 2 weeks, I guess a week before the game. I don't know if we're going to do one next week, but we'll see. And beat Texas.
Man, I can't wait. It can't get here soon. It's actually going by fast, but I can't get here soon enough. I can't wait to get there.
I can't either. So with that, we will say adieu and go Mean Green.
Go Mean Green.